Good morning. I love that last song that we were singing here as a congregation together. And I hope you really do recognize that we are loved and cared for in a very special way by our God, and that your hearts are truly filled with praise. And with that being said, come on, let's bless the Lord in this place. Come on, bless him. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to all of those of you who have come. Certainly want to welcome our family and friends who are joining us as we live stream on Facebook. We're grateful to God for this opportunity that we can come before him once again, not knowing what any day may bring. So we are grateful that we have this opportunity to be here once again. If this is your first time with us, a very special welcome to you. I'm Pastor KP. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At this time, we're going to have our very own minister, Paul Hansen, is going to come. Won't you bless the Lord? We got graduates. So let's go ahead and bless the Lord for graduates. Yes. Minister Paul Hansen is going to come and say a few words to them and pray over them, and then I'll come back and I'll share with you the word of God. Amen.
So y'all give it up for Adam, who graduated from high school.
Is it all right? Wow. Where you are maybe not excited about it, right? Or maybe even dislike it strongly, right? And I want to encourage you, and this goes for anything, not just the job, but in your life and anything. I want to read from Colossians 2, where it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Meaning, whatever you do, whatever job you do, whatever play you may be part of, whatever it is, don't think of it as, I'm doing this for who I work for, my employer. I'm doing this for God as part of your... It means you use the abilities that God has given you, the everything that God has given you, you use that to glorify God through whatever you're doing in your next stage in life. And I want to encourage you and say that as Gateway, as your church family, whatever you have a need of, like if you have ever want to talk, everybody in this room is willing to give you advice or help you. You know, so don't feel like just because you're graduated, you know, you may be away in Columbus, but you can always call us and we'll be praying for you as a church family. And so so I just want to encourage you with that, and that we are praying for you. And I do want to pray for you here in a minute. But we also do have one other graduate this semester too, and that's Pastor. Y'all give it up for Pastor who graduated. He got his bachelor's degree from Luther Rice. He actually... classes in December, but the graduation was this past Friday. So he got his bachelor's degree in religion. And so we congratulate Pastor on doing that, because he that's a lot of work. So, and being a pastor and doing that too. So y'all be sure to encourage him on that too. And y'all pray with me. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for Adam, and we're going to pray for Pastor. And y'all pray with me. And also, you know, just give Adam and Pastor words of encouragement afterwards too. And we'll pray. Dear God, thank you so much for Adam and for Pastor and the step that they've taken in their lives, God. And I pray right now, as Adam is moving on to this next stage of life after high school, God, that you would help him to lead him, that you would lead him, that he would allow himself to be led by you, God. And whatever that is, help him to seek after you, to find out your will for his life, God. And I just pray that you would send people around him to help guide him and help him follow you, God, wherever that is, whether it's in Columbus, God. I pray that he would find a church to go to down there, God, and I just pray that you would help him to seek your will in everything he does, God, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you guys so much for that. And just to piggyback off of something that Minister Hansen said, Adam's needs may go beyond just your advice at times. Amen. So because we are the family of God, and because this is his family, then I need you to be mindful of that. School can be tough. And especially for young folk who are going into that adulthood phase, he's going to be challenged in ways he hasn't been challenged before. And so his needs may go far beyond that. And I know somebody's going to get mad. If you want to bless him before he leaves here today, I'm sure he wouldn't mind, by the way, if you want to bless him. So keep that in mind. But we are proud of you, Adam, for that success and having... there are some who don't even make it that far, and so that's a great accomplishment, and we certainly desire God's will for whatever his will for your life in the future, amen. At this time, we're going to have fifth grade and below. You can be dismissed to your designated area, and those who are leading in that capacity. And while they're doing that, for those who are going to remain here, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bibles, if you haven't turned there already. We want to also say congratulations to Grace. She's not with us today, but Grace graduated college. And so we're grateful to God for that he has saw her through that as well. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to begin at verses 12 and 13. Don't have to stand just yet. You know, I always got somewhat of an introduction for you, kind of help you guys see what the thought process was as we approach the scriptures. But in today's society, there are so many things people think they need. But one of the things that they seem to think they don't need are the scriptures, which is mostly reflected by how often people spend time reading the scriptures. Which begs the question, Killian, why do I need the Bible? What's so great about this book? This book called the Bible is the very Word of God. Breathed out from God, according to the Apostle Paul when he writes to 2 Timothy in 3:16. But I thought man wrote the Bible. The Apostle Peter gives us clarity. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:21, he says, "For prophecy never came by an act of human will," meaning it never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though they're human, They spoke from God as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. So yes, man wrote it, but only as God gave the words for them to write. And in his sovereignty, God has assured us of its inerrancy. And by inerrancy, I mean it's incapable of being wrong. So it's not some fabricated, invented, or made-up fairy tale. Peter actually says in that second chapter, that second letter as well, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories. We were eyewitnesses. And not only has God assured the Bible's inerrancy, but its preservation. That's why it has stood the test of time. Down through history, there have been those who have tried to destroy it, to burn it, to ban it like they do in our schools, or wipe all traces away of it. But Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So this book is worthy of your attention. It's different than any other book that has ever been written or ever will be written. Here's the irony, though, Elaine. It's not uncommon to hear somebody say, if only we had a word from God, if only I could just hear clearly from God, tell me what you want me to do, tell me what it is that you want. He has. Here it is. The Bible is clear. In the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, God has spoken. This is how the Old Testament emphasizes the Word of God. Over 2,000 times, expressions like, thus says the Lord, or the Lord spoke, are used. Over 2,000 times in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah 20 times declares that his writings are the word of the Lord. Jeremiah says almost 100 times, the word of the Lord came to me. It's almost an average of 2 times a chapter. Jeremiah is declaring that the word of the Lord came to me and then I gave it to you. Ezekiel makes the same claim about 60 times. The prophets, Hosea, Joel, Jonah, Micah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, they all begin with this statement, the word of the Lord came to me. Malachi, our last book in the Old Testament, that small book, it's a very small book, and in our Old Testament, it begins using the phrase, it says the phrase, the Lord says, 25 times in that small book. So through the Old Testament, it's declaring that God is speaking. This is his word. And now in Hebrews chapter 4, where we're going to be today and look at these two verses, I want you to see what it says about it in the New Testament when it comes to the word of God. If you have it there, please stand on your feet for those who are able. I want to read just these two verses, so I won't keep you long. Verses 12 and 13. Now remember, as we read just these two verses, though, within these pages is the voice of God. Beginning at verse 12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The message is entitled today, The Powerful Word of God. Father, thank you for this opportunity once again to be in your presence and to fellowship among the believers, God. Thank you for this word, your word, God. Not made up, But men, holy men, were moved by your Holy Spirit to give your word clearly and accurately as you had will for it to be. Bless us in this hour, this appointed time, God, in understanding that your word is powerful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. The powerful word of God. Now, when you open the book of Hebrews, or when you come to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, it begins with this statement. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets. And that's what I was just talking about, those thousands of times that God reminded them in the Old Testament that it was him who was speaking. God says, this is my word. Those men were just my spokesmen. And so it is my word that I gave to them. Then so the Hebrew writer goes on to say, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, who is the living word. So God continues to speak, but now he has spoken in a final and fuller way than he ever has before. So what we have divided in our Bibles as the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have the word of God, or the voice of God. In the opening section of Hebrews, it reiterates that emphasis over and over again. So that when you come to chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 1, it says, we must pay close, careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. What have we heard? God speaking through the prophets of the Old Testament, and now in these last days through his son. So that requires us giving very careful attention to what we have heard. So that he says in verse 2 of chapter 2, for since the message spoken through angels was binding, the NASB translate this as, the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, meaning you can't change it, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. God gave his words to angels who gave it to men who gave it to the people. It was a word that must be believed, it must be obeyed, and it said every transgression or received its just penalty. So when you come over to Hebrews chapter 3, the Hebrew writer begins to quote Psalm 95, which was written by David in verse 7. He says this, so as the Holy Spirit says. Now, David was the one who wrote it, but it was the Holy Spirit guiding and directing David in his writing. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as you did in the rebellion. He repeats that in chapter 3 in verse 15. So in verse 7 and verse 15, he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. You see, you are hearing the voice of God when his word is read, as it is spoken. We're hearing the very voice of God. Now, let me be clear, because there are those people who manipulate people with saying that, you know, I'm God's man and God, or God's woman, and he told me to tell you this. And their message is built around deception or selfish ambition. Got to be careful about that. Slavers used it in the past. Politicians use it today. And sadly, preachers use it in that way today. It's only the voice of God, when his word is being read or expounded on in its proper context, just as God intended for it to be. Not for us to make it mean what we want it to mean, especially to take advantage of others or for our own selfish gain. And that's why there's a strong warning of those of us who claim to be teachers or preachers. Not many of you should become teachers, Because you know that those of us who teach will receive a stricter judgment. God has only one begotten Son, Jesus Christ. No man, no preacher, no pope, no bishop, no apostle is God. Only Jesus, Yeshua, if you will, is the Son of God. He is the Word who was in the beginning with God. He is God. And it's so easy for us, Killian, to become casual or indifferent. And by indifferent, you're unconcerned when it comes to what the Word says. And most of us own a Bible, or many of us multiple Bibles. But when we read it, it becomes just words to us, and we forget that this is God speaking. If Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven today and stepped into this pulpit and spoke, that would be no more the Word of God than what you have in between these pages right here. You can't separate him from his Word. When you hear God's Word, harden not your heart. And the way the Hebrew writer finishes chapter 3, that's going to help us understand what he's going with in chapter 4 here, is with questions to remind us how serious this is. He says, did not the people Moses led out of Egypt, did they not hear and rebel? And didn't God become angry with them and for 40 years left them in that wilderness so that they can die? Because God swore that they would never enter his rest because of their disobedience to his word. And their disobedience was taken by God as unbelief. So that's why when you come over to chapter 4 now where we are, chapter 4 begins with, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. And what is the promise? The promise of entering his rest? It's the word of God. He promises rest to those who believe and obey him. And the rest he's referring to is his salvation. So he says in verse 2, for we have also had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But listen to this. But the message they heard, when they heard the voice of God through the word of God, it was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. So they were closed out from the blessing that God had promised to those who heard and obeyed. They didn't go in or enter God's rest, God's salvation, because of their disobedience. You either submit and obey the word, or you rebel in its disobedience. So that down in verse 11 of this chapter, right before where we're going to be, he says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example, their example of disobedience. So here we are. Hundreds of years later, approximately 1,500 years later, gone by, and we're confronted with the same decision that they were. The word of God is being presented, and you either believe it and obey it, or you refuse to believe and you will disobey it. And if you refuse to believe, you will follow the example of those who went before you who wouldn't believe, and you will be closed out from all of God's promised blessings and the salvation that he bestows on those who hear and believe. Now, please understand, he is not saying you're saved by faith and you keep your salvation by being faithful. He's saying if you have truly trusted Christ, that will result in a life that is faithful to him. And that's what leads us up to verse 12 right here. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And we often, Reggie, we memorize verse 12, at least the first part, or at least parts of it, right? The word of God is sharp. We know that part, but we don't really understand it in its context. It's a context of threatening judgment that you can't, in other words, that you can't escape the judgment of God. That's the context. His word reveals us as we are. That there is no one who escapes the seeing eyes of God himself. There is no one who is not laid open, if you will, by the truth of God's word. The danger that these Hebrews and this congregation, their local congregation here, is that he's writing to, the danger that they face is that they think that they can hide things from God. You know, you come in and you sit down and you told everybody you're a Christian, you're professing that faith, you're hearing it, but God knows if you're pretending or not. You can cover up some things to that person sitting beside you, but the word of God reveals you for who you are. That's the message that he's given, that this is God's word. It's living. It's active. And by that, it just simply means that it accomplishes whatever God intended for it to accomplish. The prophet Isaiah says it this way in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Make the note. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 says this. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and the bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's what it means when it says that the word is living. It's alive. It's living. It's active. It's energetic. It's powerful. It always accomplishes what God says. His word reveals him for what he's like, what he's doing, what he's done. And when he speaks, when it says it's alive and it's active, it's when he speaks, it's effective. It will happen. There is nothing more powerful than the word of God. For it was by his word that the worlds came into existence. The Hebrew writer will actually say back in chapter 1, you can go back and look at it in your spare time. In verse 3, it says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Listen to this. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, in the context he's writing now, though, he's talking about the word in the context of judgment, though. He says it's sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow. His word cuts going in and cuts coming out. The power of his word is so powerful that it exacts every motive of your heart. Even your thoughts are laid bare before God. If we are liar, the word reveals you're a liar. If you're a fornicator, it reveals it. If you're a gossiper, you're a slanderer, you're a cheater, a backbiter, whatever. The power of his word reveals it. That's what it means by the word of God. It lays us open down to our innermost being before God. It's called the recession of a person's heart and life, down to your thoughts and your intentions. That's why he goes on. Go over to the next verse. That's why he goes on to 13 and say, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. In this Hebrew congregation, there are some who sat there and heard the word of God, but their thoughts were in other places. You can sit here and your thoughts be in someplace else. No, what's that text I just got? What I'm going to do this afternoon when church is almost over? At least I hope he almost finished. You know, I wonder what my next week going to be like. other things on our mind. God knows what's going through your mind right now. His word reveals us. That's why we don't like it. What happens when people get into sin? They don't want to get around the word of God because it's cuts. It's unpleasant. But I want you to understand this. The powerful word of God. God has always been speaking. He spoke through creation. He spoke through his prophets. In these last days, he spoke through his son. And now we have the New Testament because by his spirit, he has given us the New Testament through the apostles and prophets. And now we are to take heed to whatever it's saying. Every time the word of God is given in its context, that's the voice of God. So that he says, you need to understand, it's alive and active. It is effective. It's going to accomplish whatever God sent it out to. Every time a person speaks the word of God, and you know how you can be talking to somebody, and you are telling them the truth of what God's word says, and it seems like nothing's happened. That's not true. Something always happens. They heart might be hardened, or they might believe, but it always happens. There's no such thing as his word returning to him, not accomplishing what he willed for. The word will draw people or it will drive people. But you haven't had a thought since you sat here this morning. I haven't had a thought since I walked up here this morning that God hasn't seen. Think about that. He says nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. This is how powerful God's word is. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. I don't have anything, Elaine, anything in my mind that he's not aware of. Even if I'm planning sin, he already know what you're planning. There's no hiding anything. His word unfolds it. So we need to examine ourselves in light of the word of God because that is the purpose of the word of God. Timothy, when he writes to Timothy, he says, not only is the word of God, God breathed, it's the very breath of God that comes from his mouth, but he tells us it's profitable for you. Sometimes it's going to correct you, it's going to rebuke you, but it's going to train you in righteousness. All of these things. But that's why we come and consider it. So we can know clearly what God has said and allow him to renew our minds and bring about the necessary changes in our lives. Those changes that will bring him honor and bring him glory as those who profess to be children of God. And when he does, everything changes. And that's why he starts on the inside and makes us new creatures in Christ so that we can live these new lives. Lives that are honoring and obedient to him. So we've got to be very careful. I want you to follow this closely. Because I'm always, every time I have an opportunity to speak, I think back to what have you shown me already. And when you think about what we've been considering already, we've talked about who we are in Christ, died with Christ, buried with Christ, raised to this new life, this brand new creation, born again, new creation, to live lives now that honor him in all that we say and do. Erwin walked us back through showing us how that all that came about from the origin of sin to the power and penalty of it being destroyed to how we're dealing with temptation. We looked at how we have an advocate that's speaking on our behalf before the throne of God. And now look at what today is. God reminding us in the context of judgment, you better take heed of my word. My word is alive. It's a living word. It's active. It's effective. It accomplishes everything. He reminds you, you can be like those people who heard my word and just rejected it. I swore in my wrath they would not enter my rest. And I'm telling you, I'm putting this in my word so that it'll be a reminder and a warning for you. Don't be like them. I'm the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If I didn't let them, I'm not going to let you. As a child of God, we're responsible for not just being hearers of the word only. James says, but don't be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. And since we bear witness to the power of God's word, because we believe that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, we heard the message of truth. We believe that. And because we believe that, we're now born again. And since we bear witness to that, since we're aware of the impact that that has on our lives, it's imperative of us to spend more time in the word. And it's one thing to read his word. It's a whole nother thing to study it. It's amazing to me how I don't think there is a professed Christian that does not have access to this power but fail to use it. This is what the psalmist, David, says about the word of God in Psalms 19. You make the note and go back and look at it. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 14. This is what David says about it. When he says the law of the Lord, he's talking about the word of God. It's perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord, the words are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord, the word of God, is right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord, the word of God, are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord, which is the word of God, are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. Tells you, don't go over there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Because what did we talk about last week? There are consequences, serious consequences. Says, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent and great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. And he see, we have a lot of preachers quote that before they speak. And that's a good thing. But what you're saying when you do that, you want to make sure that the words you're speaking are the very words of God. To our younger people, to Adam, to graduates, and even other younger people that may be in here, this is what David says in the psalmist says in 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Listen, by living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because that's all that matters in the end. That's who we got to answer to. At first, I thought where we were going to head today, since we had looked at that heavenly courtroom scene, if you will, where the adversary was there, standing there, making accusations, accusing Joshua. And we had our advocate, Jesus Christ, who was there making intercession on our behalf, who's going to take off our unclean garments and put us on clean garments. I thought that we were going to head to, now that judgment, heavenly scene, is not for everybody. That's for the believer. For the unbeliever, your courtroom scene going to look quite different. There won't be an advocate there for you. There won't be, that he's not going to call forth individual witnesses. He's going to open his book before you. And you're going to be judged according to his word. You're going to be condemned to an eternal damnation separated from him forever. So there won't be, the accuser won't be there. His word is going to accuse you of everything that you've done. Because it sees you and knows you. But today, and that's why I was doing that study on the great white throne judgment in Revelation, but it's like my heart just turned towards the word of God. How powerful is the word of God? And in this particular context that I believe my heart was led to, it's in the context of judgment saying, listen, coming to church is good. We certainly want you to come. Showing up online is great. That is awesome. But to sit and hear the word is not enough. You must believe the word and do what it says. He's not going to come and check you. You know, at school, you know, everybody, all the graduation, all the from elementary on up, we got all these different programs. And one of the merits that you can get is attendance. You know, oh, and it's good. You know, it's amazing to hear of a student that never missed a day of school, especially them that they say for the last 4 years, never missed a day of school. That's not going to work with heaven. God's not going to give out perfect attendance records. What did you do with my word? That's what he's going to be looking for. This is the command of God, that you believe me, not me, him. In the world today, we have access in all different translations all different translations, whatever language you speak, more access to the Bible than ever before. But there still seems to be, and I know this is going to sound almost ironic, not stupid, but how is it that you got access, more access than you ever had before, and yet it still seems like it's a famine of the word? It reminds me of the prophet Amos. Prophet Amos in chapter 8 says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, that was speaking about a time back then, because we believe there was a period between what we call the inner testament, where God was silent before John the Baptist came crying out in the wilderness. But I would say a strong argument can be made that there's a famine from the pulpit when it comes to the word of the Lord. And the reason that can happen and carry on, now that points at me and others in this position, but guess what? The only reason that can happen is because of you, and if you let that happen, you got to get in the word and hold us accountable. People don't understand the value of it. So it begs the question, I want you to ask yourself, don't think about your spouse or your child, how important is the Bible to you? How much do you value it? I remember you telling me this week, Al said one of the things that stood out in one of our conversations a while ago, and that wasn't a conversation, I think he was talking about, I said it in a message once before, and I told you guys a long time ago, I spoke about how I saw a picture of an Ethiopian child that was starving and hungry, and it's as if God was saying, you know, that's what many people spiritually look like because they don't eat. Well, here's the reversal side of that to put emphasis on it. However much you read the Bible, imagine if that's how much food you only ate. Would you survive, really? I'm talking about physically now. I'm doing the reversal. The other part was the spiritual part, that you look spiritually sick if you're not studying the Word of God. But let's look at the flip side of it. However much you study, however much you spend time in the Word of God, if that's all that you can eat physically, would you survive? Al was there and bragging. He wasn't bragging. I'm just joking. But, you know, he's in his health mode, and he fit. Look at him. He fit. And all of that. No, but my point is this, though. Why I'm using him as an analogy is he was talking about how he eats and eats healthy and those types of things. Al won't make it, though, if you only eat one time a week. And if you only eat Sunday, that's if you tuned in. I'm not talking about because you're here. You got to be listening. If you only eat Sunday, Wednesday, you wouldn't make it. With such a living and active, or a living and powerful word at your disposal, we are foolish to neglect the blessing that it offers us, or the warnings that it gives. You ever did something and you'd be like, and your friend or your buddy or your parent or whatever, they knew. Why you didn't tell me? Well, the Bible does that all the time, to keep you from stumbling. But many fail to understand the value of it. We talked about this as men yesterday down at the retreat. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, if you claim you believe, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Listen to this. For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is what was preached to you. And then he would go on to say, like newborn babes, desire the sincere or the pure spiritual milk. Crave it, even, is what he says. Crave the sincere milk of God, so that by it you grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So in closing, I just want to say, let us remember what our Lord and our Savior said. Man should not live off of bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is the powerful word of God. It is alive, it is living, it is active, it is effective. It can discern the very intentions or intent or motivations of your heart. Nothing, absolutely nothing in all of creation is hidden from him. He has given us his word so that we would know what his plan is for his salvation, how he wants and expects us to live to bring glory to his name. And yet few people, I'm not talking about the unbeliever. We don't expect the unbeliever to pick it up. I'm talking about church folk. Spend very little time reading it. So you want to hear the voice of God? Pick up the book. He's been speaking. He wants to talk to you. And I'm all for your 360-day plan, going through it. I'm all for that. But I need you to understand. Don't let it be just some routine thing. Make time for him. Make time for him and his word. Sit down without distraction. Don't open it in. Got your TV turned to your favorite channel. Got your radio. No, just you and him. You'll be surprised at how, I think Lamar used this illustration yesterday. He says, you'll be surprised at how fine-tuned you can get to hearing the voice of God. What you got, maybe on the back seat, up in your car window, stuck in the hotel room drawers, some of them even balancing the coffee table. That's the very powerful word of God that you have there. And God wants us to know, be warned. Because there were some people before us who were hearing the voice of God, hearing the word of God, and they rebelled. He equivalated their disobedience with unbelief, and you and I will be no different. Amen? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the riches of your word, God. I hope it's true that we are in awe, God, that you have spoken, that you have actually spoken clearly. And it's our great privilege, God, that in the day in which we live, each of us has our own precious treasure copy of your word. Not just a portion, but your words from the beginning to the end. May we understand how blessed we are, God, how responsible we are to be. God, we must first respond in faith and trust you, believing that what you have said is true, and then submit ourselves to it that we might live lives that manifest our faith by our obedience, God. And I pray that the treasure of your word will work its work in our hearts and in our minds, God, so that we become more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for our time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Charity, if you would play something very soft, I want to give you an opportunity. Would you please stand for those who are able? You can come to my left, your right, if you want to speak with God. Or maybe you want someone to pray for you, or with you. You can come to my right, your left. But just know, we got to understand how serious this is. He has given us everything that we need in this life. Everything that's pertaining to this life in godliness. In his word. And I'm not saying that God can't supernaturally speak in through other modes and means. But I'm telling you primarily, this is how he speaks to you. Through his word. And I encourage you to get to him. But won't you come? We'll give you this opportunity to come. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Maybe see. Thank you so much for your attendance on today. We are blessed. While there is general revelation in creation that can tell us some things about this invisible God, he has given us special revelation by way of his word. So we are blessed to have this powerful word from God, which is the Bible. And I pray that in the days to come, you would seek his voice by diligently, intentionally getting to the word of God. Amen. Thank you, our family and friends, for joining us online. Kelly, our sister, she's here today. I'm so quite surprised, but she's here today. Please keep her and her family lifted. Many of you are aware Kelly lost her father last weekend, and they will, am I right, correct, today at 3 o'clock you guys will be? I told my wife I was going today. I thought it was today. I'm sorry. But please keep Kelly and her family lifted, as others who have recently lost someone. But I've been blessed as well by and encouraged by the word of God, and I pray that that's true for all of you as well. I encourage you to come out on Wednesday night for Bible study as we are being equipped to be able to go out and glorify our Father by doing what he has called us to do. We're starting something new, the apologetic series, and I'd love for you to be a part of that. Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Matter of fact, come at 6. We praying. Love for you to be a part of that, but if you do understand how serious the word of God is, take advantage of opportunities that's going to help you grow. Amen. Let me pray for us one last time, and I'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Father, it is with great pleasure that I stand and have the honor and privilege to pray once again for and over your people. I thank you again for your word, God. I thank you that you have, there was a point where we had eyes but couldn't see and ears where we couldn't hear. But now, God, by your grace and your goodness towards us, God, you have given us open ears and eyes and hearts so that we can taste how good your word is, so that we can hear, God, so that we can not be like the blind man that Jesus says, can you see now? He's like, no, they look like trees. He had to do it again so he could see clear. But now we're seeing clearer because of your word. We understand clearer the things that are going on in this world. So I pray now, God, that the hearts and minds that have been exposed to your voice, or your word that is, that they would take heed and not be found as those as before. As we prepare to leave this place, please, Father, have mercy on us, and may your favor and your blessings abide. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.